Hello and welcome or welcome back to Sex Scandals and Shenanigans podcast. My name is Adrian and I'll be your host. In this show, I discuss history and mythology's most notorious mistresses and lovers. And boy howdy are we continuing. I'm belatedly continuing my recounting of the sea god's numerous sexcapades. This time, we get in bed with the mortals. Yes, this includes Medusa, Aethra, and numerous others. That said, while not as prolific as his younger older brother, Zeus, Poseidon certainly did get around. How? I have no fucking clue. But clearly, having powers such as his makes things easier. Please note that this episode does discuss sexual assaults, rapes, and consensual relationships. And also demons and nightmares. But again, non-consensual relationships. Listener discretion is advised. So the question becomes, do we discuss Medusa first or last? I think she should go in the middle. So, let's continue, shall we? One son of Poseidon, while not completely human, that plays a significant role in Homer's The Odyssey is Polyphemus. Polyphemus was a son from Poseidon and the sea named Thusa. Thusa was the daughter of the old sea god Phorcys, who apparently also fathered the Gorgons. Yes, those Gorgons. We'll get there later. Thusa's mother is unknown. What has been reported was that Poseidon, guided by his little seahorse, and with Thusa spawned the one-eyed cyclops named Polyphemus. Cyclops were mostly human-shaped, but unlike a human with two eyes, the cyclops had one giant eye in the middle of the face, where our normal eyes would be located. To put things in perspective, in the Odyssey, Odysseus is trying somewhat hard to get back home to his kingdom of Ithaca and to his family, notably his wife Penelope and his son Telemachus. Can someone please tell me how to pronounce this name, please? Is it Telemachus or Telemachus? I keep hearing different pronunciations. I will always go with Telemachus. Thanks, Wishbone. And during his trip home, which will take about 10 years, Odysseus gets stranded on an island with Circe, who fell in love with him and then turned his men into pigs so they could not leave the island. When given a good bag of wind by Zephyr, the god of the west wind, somehow one of his men blew it out and they all got stuck in the water without the ability to progress home. Well, anyway, Odysseus and his men get on the island of modern-day Sicily. Polyphemus ended up taking Odysseus and his men to his cave and trapped them. Well, Polyphemus and other light cyclops end up killing two of Odysseus' men. To get revenge on him, Odysseus talks with Polyphemus, and when Polyphemus asks for Odysseus' name, he responds with Nemo. Will this tie into Finding Nemo? Of course it will. Nemo is a Latin translated version of Otis, which is the name Odysseus gives Polyphemus. So while trapped in the cave, one night after Polyphemus falls asleep, Odysseus took a large stake and stabbed him in the eye. Writhing in pain, Polyphemus' shouts are heard by the other giant cyclops, and when asked who hurt him to avenge Polyphemus, Polyphemus shouted, "Otis, Nemo," again translated to no one or nobody. So essentially, in Odysseus' infinite wisdom, technically no one hurt Polyphemus. To escape the cave, Odysseus and his remaining men clutched themselves to the underbellies of the sheep that were let out to graze the following morning. From there, Odysseus and his men were able to get back to their ship and sail away. But guess who wasn't happy with Odysseus? That's right, Poseidon. To make things as difficult as possible for Odysseus, Poseidon created storms, thus delaying Odysseus' arrival home by a total of 10 years. Fortunately for Odysseus, because he was a cunning man and technically a hero, he was guided by the goddess of warfare, not like Ares, but more like more mental and psychological warfare and strategy, and wisdom was Athena. She was able to guide Odysseus back home safely, well, after 10 years of fighting in Troy and then getting back to Ithaca to Penelope and Telemachus. In any case, we have others that need to be discussed and who caught the seaman's eyes. Guys, I'm not letting the seaman joke die, though it may drown later on. Deal with it. I know I mentioned we're going to discuss Medusa, and we will, like I said, in the middle of this episode. But like I said, we will get to her later, so relax. I should note, one such treasure trove of information is the website www.theoi.com. It's quite the comprehensive resource. In any case, this is the site I use, which is fantastic, for all consorts and lovers of the Olympian gods. So let's get going. Poseidon's wandering eye saw the Eleusinian princess Alope, and they had a son, Hippothoon, who was an Attican king near Athens after Circean's grandfather. Circean decided it was wise, to bury Poseidon's lover alive. Poseidon then turned Alope into a spring. Oh, nice. Amione. She was one of the 50 Danaids, one of the 50 daughters of Danaus, king of Libya, who then became the king of Argos, became the lover of Poseidon. However, 49 of the 50 daughters, so 49, or rather 48 of her sisters, killed their husbands on their wedding night. Anyway, Amione bore Poseidon one son, hit Bethune, and he succeeded his grandfather, Cercine, as an Attican. Next, Astypalea. Now, keep in mind, I'm doing the best I can to pronounce these names, so if I'm doing it wrong, please forgive me. Okay, thanks. Glad we had that little discussion. Astypalea, a Phoenician princess who was abducted slash taken to the Aegean island of Samos. There she bore Poseidon several sons, Anacoys, Eurypylus, good lord, and Periclymenos, or Neleus. I told you I was doing the best I can. Eurale, a Cretan princess who bore Poseidon the hunter Orion. He'll get a story later, I promise. Eurynome, seduced by Poseidon, she had a notable son, Bellerophon. Again, we'll get to his story later. Hella, a Boeotian princess from Athamantia, who was pursued by her evil stepmother. She was the lady who rode the ram over the strait now known as a Hellespont. She was then rescued by Poseidon, and through their liaison, she bore Almaphus, Eteonus, and Paeon. They're all Thracian kings of the Thracian area. I'm doing the best I can here. Next, love interest. Iphimedia. Story goes, she had twins by Poseidon. She had fallen in love with the sea god and would visit the seashore, hoping to bask in his favor. She would then cup seawater into her lap until Poseidon answered her longings. So Poseidon finally responds to her efforts by impregnating her via seawater. Why does this sound like something? Okay, what Zeus did this shit to? Anyway, she bore Poseidon two sons, Otus and Ephialtes. These two are a horrible person. Her parents were Triope of Thessaly, a son of her lover, so she slept with her grandfather, and Hysilla, daughter of Numidian of Phthia. Ugh, way to keep in the family. Speaking of family, Cananace. C-A-N-A-C-E. Look, like I said, I'm doing the best I can here. Grandmother to Iphimedia, but also another notable lover of Poseidon. Through this relationship, she bore him four children. Popdeus, Nereus, Epopius, Aloeus, and Triops. Also, Canice, that's what I'm going with, was the sister of Sisyphus. According to Theoi.com, Poseidon appeared in the form of a bull because, you know, why not act like his brother? All right, we're going to get to Theophany. She's a biggie, but she's not as biggie as a couple of others that I mentioned earlier. So anyway, let's get started. Theophany was part of another transformation story. She was a highly sought out as a bride. She was a daughter of Basaltes, who was a king in Thracian Macedonia. To escape her large amount of suitors, Poseidon transformed her into a ewe, female sheep, and had her go to the island of Crinissa. Poseidon then took the form of a ram. Also, when the potential suitors followed them to this island of Crinissa, the suitors started killing and slaughtering all the animals. Poseidon then turned all the animals into wolves so they would stop slaughtering them. And that's nice. He then found Theophany and in their sheep-like form, shagged her, and she gave birth to a golden ram, whom Jason chased during his Argonaut, the golden fleece. Which was carried by Phrixus to Colchis. Phrixus was the older brother of Hela from the Hellespont story that we mentioned earlier. She fell off, drowned, and then that strait was named the Hellespont. Anyway, don't worry, we're getting to the biggies. Before getting into the travels and adventures of Poseidon's two most famous heroic, which is debatable of course, sons, we need to talk about Medusa. If someone knows the Greek versions of the next two sayings, I'd be very appreciative. Oive and I'm Zeus, meaning, oh my god, what the fuck? All right, here we go. Let's do a bit of a background on Medusa. Medusa was a member of the Gorgon family. There were three sisters, Steno, Eurale, and of course, Medusa. Unlike her two sisters, Medusa was the only mortal Gorgon. Anyway, they were the daughters of Phorcys and Ceto, an old sea god and sea goddess. Another set of daughters, the Graei, were their sisters. All six of the daughters were in one way or another part of working with the underworld. Now that's the easy part to explain. There are variations, particularly regarding Medusa. Let's discuss. One variation is that Medusa was a priestess of the warrior and crafting goddess Athena. At this time, Medusa has been described as a beautiful maiden attending Athena. At one point, Poseidon's roving eyes spotted the beautiful Medusa. From there, his seahorse reared up and he sought to satiate his lust upon Medusa, assaulting, if not straight up raping her. Because this happened in or at Athena's temple, or so the story goes, she was infuriated at by the act. Someone had to be punished, and it wasn't going to be Poseidon. Athena saw Medusa and changed her from a beautiful woman, who at this point is mortal, to a creature whose hair now became slithering in slimy snakes and the ability to look at someone and turn them into stone. Granted, that person had to look at Medusa or her sisters directly to be turned into stone. Version 2. Medusa, again, unlike her sisters, was a mortal being, whereas her sisters were immortal. I think I made that abundantly clear. You're welcome. So, as it happens, Poseidon spies the maiden Medusa and has his way with her. She didn't consent. And like version 1, it was in or at Athena's temple. This, of course, makes Athena irate because her temple has been defiled. As we are aware, like Artemis, Athena too is a virgin goddess. Unlike version 1, however, Athena is horrified at what Uncle Poseidon did. To protect Medusa, Athena turned her into a fearsome and gruesome creature, ugly, head full of snake hair, and the ability to turn mortals into stone should they look upon her. There's technically a third version of the story of Medusa and Poseidon, so I'm briefly going to go over it. In Hesiod's Theogony, he claims that there was no assault or rape by Poseidon, as the inference of his story is unclear. However, according to Hesiod, Poseidon is described as having dark hair, and he lay with one of these gorgons, Medusa, in the soft meadow and among the spring flowers. There's no mention of Athena's temple or Athena in general, so again, it's limited information. In this particular case, we're going to stick with versions 1 and 2, as they are the most well-known compared to Hesiod's Theogony. So thank you, Ovid, for a more in-depth story that we don't like. The more traditional versions that I went over, Athena then used Medusa's transformation as a way to protect her from future assaults, or in version 1, to punish her for committing adultery and heinous acts in her temple. For the stories, Medusa is then removed from the temple of Athena, and then she then resided with her sisters, Steno and Euryale. To quickly reiterate Perseus' story, Perseus, having to prevent his mother from being married and assaulted by King Polydectes, then sent Perseus on a quest to return with the head of Medusa. He did, with the help of his immortal half-sister Athena. Again, she's the patron goddess of heroes. Perseus did. He also met the Graia, took with their shattered eyeball to get info on their sister Medusa and her location. Perseus then fights Medusa using his brains. One of the gifts given to him was a shield, and he used that reflection to find and execute Medusa via beheading. Once she was beheaded, out of her neck came out two progeny of her and Poseidon's liaison. Chrysaor, his name translates to he has a golden sword, or he who has a golden sword, a Greek hero. Eventually he married a daughter of Oceanus, Kalaharui, meaning beautiful flow or beautiful stream. Okay. He was also the father of Geryon, a large and fearsome giant, and Echidna, mother of many mythological monsters. Other and much more famous offspring of Poseidon and Medusa, Pegasus. We'll get into his story with Bellerophon not too long from now. We still have a few others to get through, so let's get cracking. After having in-depth discussion about Medusa's interactions with Poseidon, let's continue with his other mortal liaisons. With the Nereid Arethusa, they had a son named Albus, who became king of the Abantes, a local kingship located in Euboea in central Greece. With another nymph, Chian, a Chian nymph to be more specific, their son Aegilus was born. Woohoo! Agenor, king of Phoenicia, he was born to Poseidon and Libya, an Egyptian princess. Seriously, her name was Libya and she was an Egyptian princess. She also bore Poseidon a second son, Belus, who eventually became king of Egypt. His more Egyptian names were Akaroi or Side, which was the eponymous of the Phoenician city of Sidon. Belus was also the father of Aegyptus and Danaus, who founded the cities of the Peloponnesus, or the Spartan area. Remember I mentioned Danaus and Aegyptus earlier about the Danaids, the 50 daughters and the 50 sons, who then got mostly murdered. Aelios or Helen, Aeolus, prince of Icaria, an island in the Aegean, son of Arne, but raised by the Icarian king and queen Metapontos and Theano. Okay. From southern Greece, Achaeus, attributed to Poseidon, but may also be the son of Zuthos. Okay, cool. Mopus, king of the Amopii people in northern Greece, came from Poseidon's union with Hela, We mentioned that earlier. There are more, but that aren't interesting, so let's move on. Poseidon's son, Atlas, no, not the Titan, was between Poseidon and Clytie. Atlas was the overlord of the 10 Atlantis kingdoms and overlord of the Atlantic continental ocean. I think that's what it says. Oh, Atlantic continent and ocean. Back to Boreas and Boreas, an Egyptian king. This guy apparently sacrificed foreign visitors to the gods. Oh, that's nice. And it has also been said that he was killed by Heracles, or Hercules. Anyway, now we get to one of the biggies, Bellerophon. Here's a good one. He's the OG of the demigod heroes in Greek mythology. Bellerophon, as noted, son of Poseidon Eurynome, of the future Queen of Corinth, wife of the famed mythological asshole, Sisyphus, the boulder up the hill dude. According to Hesiod, Zeus willed it that pain in the ass Sisyphus would not leave any natural progeny or heirs to inherit after him. So his wife ended up sleeping with the salty seaman. From their union, Bellerophon was born. Anyway, Bellerophon was exiled to Argos for committing murder. As with any crimes committed, Bellerophon needed to be cleansed of his miasma, or guilt. For this, he went to Argos, ruled by King Proteus. Proteus absolved Bellerophon of his miasma. However, Proteus' wife wanted to conduct an affair with a young hero, or the young man in this point. Bellerophon rejected her concerns, or her advances rather, and she cried out that Bellerophon had made a pass or even assaulted her, which we know as listeners and readers is false. This reminds me of the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife in the Bible. Anyway, Bellerophon rejects her, he gets accused, so now he has to cleanse himself again of miasma. With this problem, Proteus, not wanting to violate the laws of Xenia, or laws of hospitality, he wrote his father-in-law, King Iobates of Lycia, to have Bellerophon cure his, wrongly committed, of course, miasma. The letter that Bellerophon was tasked to take to Iobates essentially said, "Kill the man who delivers this letter to you." Oops, fucking Xenia. Iobates cannot kill Bellerophon due to the laws of hospitality. To prevent violating Xenia, Iobates came up with the idea of Bellerophon tasked to kill the Chimera. The Chimera was a multifaceted creature with the front of a lion, the middle of a goat, and its tail of a snake. Also, it was fire-breathing and completely ferocious. So, ending Bellerophon's minute career as a postal delivery service, he took on the challenge of fighting and defeating the fearsome monster. Also, the Chimera was somehow related to the multi-headed Hydra, but that's beside the point. As with many young boys, Bellerophon heard stories of the winged horse Pegasus and wanting to ride it. Unbeknowingly, Pegasus is Bellerophon's half-brother. Remember, both sprang from the loins of Poseidon. In any case, Bellerophon was advised to visit Athena's temple, as she was the patron goddess of heroes, by the seer Polydeus. So, off he went to an overnight camping at Athena's temple. As he slept, Athena came to him and gifted Bellerophon a golden bridle. In the morning, guess who shows up? Pegasus! Using the golden bridle on Pegasus rendered him tame and rideable. Off to find weapons to use against the Chimera, Bellerophon figured using a sword would not be sufficient, but a spear could be good. The gods again helped the son of Poseidon, giving him a lead-based spear to use against the Chimera. From this, when attacking the Chimera, when it opened its jaws, or jaw rather, Bellerophon was able to aim true into the maw of the Chimera, making it gag and choke against the lead-based spear. After his success in defeating the Chimera, Bellerophon returned to Lycia, home of Iobates, and Iobates still didn't believe that Bellerophon killed the Chimera, so he sent him on more adventures, fighting the Amazons, but defeated them by hurling boulders from the back of Pegasus, and other adventures as well. In any case, Bellerophon married another daughter of Iobates, Philonoe, and from their union, Isander, Hippolochus, and Laodamium, who ended up sleeping with their great-uncle Zeus, their son was Sarpedon, killed by his half-sister Artemis. Oh my god, what a loving family. Because of all of his achievements, Bellerophon's attitude towards his achievements became so much, as we now have the word hubris, attributed to him. He became very arrogant. He believed after his victory against the Chimera, he should be deserving to visit Mount Olympus, home of the gods. To prevent his entrance to the Mount Olympus, Zeus sent a gadfly to sting Pegasus, who would then unseat Bellerophon back onto the earth and ground, where he died. Pegasus was able to get up to Mount Olympus. His fate? He became a pack horse for Zeus to hold all of his mighty thunderbolts. That's it. We have now come to Theseus.
Before we start recounting the many misadventures of Theseus, we need to start with his grandfather, Aegeus, king of Athens. Aegeus did not lack for women in his life, but he was not able to bear a son of his own. So, being the inquisitive man that he was, he took a trip to Delphi. He gets his response from the oracle, which was very vague. Open your wine sack before getting back to Athens. Aegeus was not fully understanding this prophecy. He went and visited his friend, King Pirithous of Troezen, who had a fuller understanding of the message. So Pirithous got his friend mind-numbingly drunk and blacked out drunk, sent his daughter Aethra to sleep with the inebriated king. As always, the Olympians get involved. Athena appeared to Aethra in her dreams and told her to go to the beach and make an offering to the gods. She did. Guess who appeared? No, not Aegeus. We're not talking about him. Poseidon made his entrance. And of course, Poseidon slept with Aethra. And you know what happens next? She got preggers. Oppa! After learning that Aethra became pregnant, Aegeus instructed her not to blab about the child not being his. He further instructed Aethra to inform the child that when he was old enough, he would go to Athens as a prince of Attica. You still here? Cool. We still have more stories to get through with this turd sniffer. Also, given further instructions, Aethra was to tell her son where to find his, Aegeus's sword, once he was old enough to lift it. He, Theseus, was to take it with him to Athens. Aethra, lucky woman, delivered a healthy son, raised by her father, Pirithous, and was shaped to be the hero he was to become. So, Theseus finally grew up and found it was time to go to Athens and begin his hero's journey. As per Aegeus's instruction, Theseus took possession of his father's sword and made his way to Athens. As with many adventures, Theseus encountered many people, including thieves and bandits. He met one such despicable person, Periphetes, another son of Poseidon, who liked to club people to death. Well, Periphetes finally received the same treatment from Theseus. After clubbing his brother, Theseus went on his merry way. Another person, Circean, remember him? Liked to fight people one-on-one. If they didn't defeat him, Circean killed him. Again, in kind, Theseus defeated Circean. Circean didn't survive. Theseus was known as the inventor of the Greco-Roman-styled wrestling form, or if you watch South Park, wrestling. Oh, Theseus. He was attacked by a boar. Guess wild pork is on the menu. Poor Pumbaa. So finally, after many adventures against murdering assholes and boars, Theseus finally made it to Athens. Unsurprisingly, Aegeus was not surprised to see his son's appearance. At his father's court was also the sorceress/witch Medea, wife of Jason from Jason and the Argonauts. Different story for another time. Medea did tell Aegeus his heir apparent was arriving, but also lied and said that the visitor would bring destruction to Athens. Because of this potential impending destruction, Medea did not inform Pirithous that their visitor was his son. I know it's conflicting information, but anyway, basically Medea said, this guy's not good news. He's going to tear down Athens. Well, Medea has a history of being petty. Ask her ex-husband Jason of Argonauts fame, maybe a future episode. In any case, Theseus arrived at the Athenian court with sword in hand. To deal with this new visitor and bypass Medea's son, Metis, by Pirithous, Medea had arranged for Theseus to fight or defeat the Marathonian bull. When Theseus went to fight the Marathonian bull, he took shelter with an older woman, Hecale, I think that's her name. She was going to use the defeated bull as a sacrifice to Zeus. However, after defeating the bull, Hecale had died and could not fulfill her promise to sacrifice the bull. Theseus, however, named a part of the modern Athens in her honor. That's cool. After this adventure, Theseus returns to Athens and sacrifices the bull, and Medea tried to poison/kill Theseus. Again! But we have a twist in the actions of Pirithous. He saw the sword and sandals that he left at the boulder and knocked the poison wine out of Theseus' hand. I heard that there was a sword only and that there was sandals. I heard sword and sandals, so they got added to both. Okay, cool. Guess who fled the coup? Medea! Apparently she went to Asia to escape any prosecution or punishment. Anyway, after the people learned about the adventures of Theseus, Aegeus' nephews, the Palatides, 50 sons of Pallas, a brother of Aegeus, Palatides should be known as Aegeus' heirs and not have any other heirs claim the throne of Athens. So they collectively decided to kill their cousin Theseus. Some sources state that Theseus killed all 50 of his cousins, or as some traditional storylines state, that Theseus spared and enslaved his cousin Anicia, but that's not always told as a standard mythological retelling. But first, let's discuss Theseus' six labors on his way to Athens. They're quite fun. The six labors of Theseus were known as the entrances to the underworld. Labor 1. Theseus arrived at the sacred site of Apollo and the healer Asclepius at Epidaurus. Here he met Periphetes. In this encounter, Periphetes, the clubbearer who killed and robbed passerbys. Theseus killed him. Good riddance. Labor 2. At the Isthmus of Corinth, another entrance to the underworld, Theseus met the robber Sinis. This motherfucker. He would take travelers, tie them to pine trees that would bend to the ground, and then let the trees go, untying them and yeeting the poor victim, which their bodies would be torn apart from this and they died. Periphetes. Theseus did the same to Sinis. Furthermore, to add more insult to injury, Theseus then seduced and slept and begat a son on Sinis' daughter, Perigene. Sorry. Their son was Melanippus. After the seduction, pregnancy, and rose-tinted glasses were off, Theseus gave Basically, he gave her away as a gift to another king, the Dionysus. Labor 3. Another isthmus, Theseus was in the area of Chromion. He killed another pig, the Chromion sow. According to Pseudo-Apollodorus, the sow was part of the offspring of Typhon and Echidna. That's nice. Labor 4. Another traveling asshole. On the road again, we meet Chiron of the area of Megara. Chiron forced travelers on a narrow pathway near a cliff, and when he felt like it, kicked the travelers over the cliff. As they fall to their death, they only fall to get greeted by a large cannibalistic turtle. They got yeeted and eated. I don't care if you like it, it rhymes. Labor 5. Remember when I mentioned Greco-Roman wrestling? Yeah, that's what this is labor is about. Essentially, Circean, who was the king of Eleusis, would host wrestling matches and usually won. However, Theseus arrives and beats him. Beats him in wrestling and probably beat him out of life. Who the fuck are these people? Alright, last labor, and probably what every disgruntled mother says, labor 6. Okay, this one's probably my favorite out of the six labors. This last labor is dealing with the worst ancient Greek Airbnb owner ever. On his travels, or rather continuing his travels, he makes a stop in Attica. Theseus encounters a man named Procrustes, who had two beds where travelers could stay upon or lay upon. These two beds are either really short or really long, depending on the traveler's height. This encounter between Theseus and Procrustes was when Theseus was off to the Athenian court. So, let's say you're 5'5". Coincidentally, that's how tall I am. Procrustes, the asshole, would put them on a longer bed, stretching them to fit bed. This, of course, could be considered the precursor to the rack, where a body is stretched to the point where muscles, ligaments, and joints are so strained and torn that the victim dies. Contrary to this bed, Procrustes had another, that if you were too tall to fit in the short bed, y'all's legs would be cut off to fit the bed. So what happened to Procrustes? Similar to other monsters and evildoers, they received their own methods of torture used against them. So Procrustes was slain by having either his body being stretched to death or having his legs and arms chopped off. After killing Procrustes, Theseus successfully made it to Athens only to deal with other problems. Fun thing to mention, apparently Procrustes was also a son of Poseidon, and while Procrustes' mother is unknown, Sinis, whose daughter was eventually seduced by Theseus, was also his half-brother. Assholery swims in the family, I guess. Now we get to the story of Theseus and the Minotaur, or makes his way to Crete. We need to discuss the reason of how the Minotaur and how Minos and Pasiphae came to be so important. So, in the kingdom of Crete, the reigning king was Minos, son of Zeus and Europa. Reference episodes 10 and 11 about Zeus if you're interested. Their son Androgeus participated in the Panathenic Olympic Games, some of which he was already the immediate victor. Unfortunately, he was murdered or assassinated by King Aegeus' nephews, son of Pallas, and the Palatines, and Aegeus was to blame for this act of murder. Okay, whatever. So, to make Aegeus pay penance for his son's death, Minos made Aegeus send 7 young men and 7 young maidens to be tribute to Crete. These 14 youths were to be devoured and sacrificed to the Minotaur, a beast that was half man and half bull, that lived on the island in an underground labyrinth created by the famed inventor Daedalus, father of the ill-fated Icarus, which is another story for another time. Unfortunately, all the young men and maidens were sent to Crete and never returned home to Athens. So, being the heroic young man that he was, and the next occasion to have a young men and ladies sent to Crete, Theseus volunteered as tribute. Side note, if that phrase seems or feels familiar, Author Suzanne Collins used the premise of Theseus and his Minotaur story as a starting point or theme for the Hunger Games book series. Before leaving, Aegeus spoke with Theseus. Should he be successful in return, he needs to change the ship's sails from black to white, signaling he didn't die. Simple instructions, right? Obviously, should Theseus not be successful, the ship's sails will stay black. Theseus agreed. I have to briefly table this story and describe as to how the Minotaur came to be in the first place. Let's roll. Minos campaigned for the throne of Crete. Once he became king of Crete, he had to fend off his brothers Rhadamanthus and Aeus. After succeeding in gaining the Cretan throne, Minos prayed to Poseidon and promised to make a sacrifice to Poseidon. Minos married Pasiphae, who was the daughter of Helios, personified deity of the sun, and the oceanic nymph Perse. Pasiphae's sister was the sorceress goddess Circe, who also slept with Odysseus in the beginning of this episode. Anyway, I assure you, it all connects. Poseidon created a beautiful white bull, and as per Minos' promise, it was to be sacrificed. However, Minos did not sacrifice the beautiful bull. He went back on his word to his uncle. Remember, his father was Zeus. Anyway, so to combat and punish Minos by calling in a favor to Aphrodite. Per the request of Poseidon to Aphrodite, again, who is the goddess of love, lust, and sex, she enchanted Pasiphae, wife of Minos, to fall in love with the bull. Before I continue, listener discretion is advised pertaining to the topic of bestiality. Due to Pasiphae's lust for the bull, she had a cow's body built and the pseudo-cow was an entrance where the bull could mount and impregnate her. Yeah, that's why I give a warning. Because of her insatiable lust towards this bull, Pasiphae became pregnant with the Minotaur. I also learned that the Minotaur's name is Asterion. Asterion, aka the Minotaur, was named after his paternal grandfather. However, we the readers and listeners do not know if Pasiphae felt anything after the death of the Minotaur. Asterion, or the Minotaur, was put in the same labyrinth that I spoke about earlier that was created by Daedalus. So now we come back to Theseus. Theseus is now on his way with the other young men and maidens to Crete. When Theseus and the others arrive, daughter of Minos and Pasiphae, Ariadne, saw and fell in love with him. Unbeknownst to her father, Ariadne gave Theseus a ball of thread or twine so that he could get back to the labyrinth's entrance and escape to go back home. Theseus successfully defeated and killed the Minotaur. He then led the other Athenian youths back to their ship out of the labyrinth, and they started to head home. Theseus, as traditionally told, defeated the Minotaur either with his bare hands or by using a club. Okay, so he's kind of like Hercules with a Nemean lion. Cool. Due to Ariadne's assistance, Theseus, along with other Athenians, left and abandoned her while traveling back home. He abandoned her on the island of Naxos. This is where Theseus becomes a mythological asshole. He only gets worse. This is a side note. As Theseus and the others get back on the ship, Ship for Brains forgot his promise to his father to change the ship's sails from black to white if they survived. The ship's sails, as seen by the Athenians, were still black. Because he saw the black sails, Aegeus leapt off into the sea, thereby killing himself. The sea in which he died was named after him, also now known as the Aegean Sea. Ship for Brains Theseus became the next king of Athens. Yay, Athenians! As with many kings, they needed to get married. When he left Crete, he and the other Athenians and sisters Ariadne and Phaedra all made a stop at the island of Naxos to find drinkable water and other resources, including food. Then, they all ditched Ariadne. However, Phaedra made the trip back to Athens. So Ship for Brains Theseus ditches one sister for another. And of course, Phaedra's the younger daughter too. Yikes, what an asshole. But Ariadne's fate went in another direction, as she was abandoned on the beach, found by the youngest Olympian, Dionysus, who was the god of wine, partying, and theater, saw her, fell in love with her, and married her. Ariadne became the goddess of labyrinths and paths. Now that makes sense. One interpretation was that after Dionysus saw Ariadne, he stated to Theseus that he was taking Ariadne as his wife slash consort, thereby absolving Theseus of desertion. Okay, sure then, if you want to go that route. Anyway, Theseus returned to Athens with the young Athenians in tow, along with Phaedra. They married, and from their union, they had two sons, Demophon and Acamas. After leaving Crete, Theseus helped his cousin Heracles in gaining the belt of Hippolyta. She was the queen of the Amazon. During their stop to get the belt, Hippolyta and Theseus fell in love. Okay, more her than Theseus. And they left, Phaedra in tow as well. From this relationship, Hippolyta bore Theseus' son, Hippolytus. From there, Theseus finally married Phaedra. And because their relationship ended, the one that he had with Hippolyta, and her Amazon warriors attacked the wedding celebration. Because of this, Theseus ended up killing his former paramour. Oopsies! There are two differing stories or myths regarding Phaedra and her action to seduce and falling in love with her stepson, Hippolytus. Version 1. Phaedra herself, through no interference of the gods for once, fell in love with Hippolytus. She then tried to seduce him and was rebuffed. Hippolytus also stated that he would keep his virginity and became a follower of the huntress goddess Artemis. Phaedra, after being rejected, lied to Theseus, stating that Hippolytus tried to rape her. Again, we go back to Joseph and Potiphar's wife. My God. Clearly, Theseus was horrified in hearing this and punished Hippolytus. He punished his son. Okay. Theseus beseeched his dad slash father Poseidon to punish his son. Poseidon sent a monster to frighten Hippolytus' chariot. By scaring the horses, Hippolytus was reared out of his chariot and got entangled in multiple reins, and because the horses were frightened, ran off, strangling and dragged him to death. So, it's like Hector during the Battle of Troy. That's how he died. Because of Hippolytus' death and how Phaedra's treachery was finally found out, she killed herself by hanging. Story version 2. Instead of Phaedra herself falling for Hippolytus, Phaedra, like Helena of Troy, was under the spell of Aphrodite. Man, this bitch gets everywhere in everybody's business. Ugh. This story comes from ancient Greek writer Euripides. Phaedra, unlike in story 1, was not trying to seduce and sleep with her stepson Hippolytus. But similar to story 1, Hippolytus was a devoted follower of Artemis and did not worship Aphrodite. Ah, there's the kicker. In her fury, Aphrodite throws a curse upon Phaedra, who romantically pursues her stepson. Again, Hippolytus rejects Phaedra's pursuit. She becomes depressed, does not eat, and at some point needs to talk to someone about her issues. Phaedra then describes to a servant, or sometimes a nurse, her romantic feelings for her stepson. Scandalized with the information, the servant tells Hippolytus so he can rebuff her. In order to save face, she writes a letter to Theseus saying that Hippolytus is guilty of seducing and assaulting her. She did this to protect her own two sons. After writing the letter, she committed suicide via hanging, letter in hand. Due to Hippolytus' death, Artemis spoke to Theseus about what really happened, the ministrations and manipulation of Aphrodite. Theseus then grieves for his son and his wife. Aww, poor Theseus. Not really, he's still an asshole. Okay, one last story for Theseus and his infinite stupidity, because clearly we know he is not like his cousin Perseus. One, if not his only best friend, was Pirithous, king of the Lapiths. Pirithous married Hippodamia. However, at their wedding, guests included Theseus and centaurs, half-man, half-horse, from the line of Ixion. Anyway, the centaurs had partaken in over-drinking and kidnapped and assaulted many female guests. Theseus and Pirithous fought along with other heroes against the centaurs. Regardless of fighting the Lapiths and the centaurs, Pirithous and Hippodamia did have a successful marriage in that she produced a son. And their son's name was Polypoetes. Polypoetes fought for the Greek or the Achaeans during the Trojan War and participated in the Trojan infiltration via the Trojan horse with Odysseus. See, it just all turns around. It's a very meta. After being widowers, Theseus after Phaedra's death and Pirithous after Hippodamia's death decided to kidnap Persephone, wife of Hades and god of the underworld, and young Helen of Sparta. Yes, that Helen of Sparta and Troy. Helen was the daughter of Zeus and Leda and was born out of an egg. Zeus seduced Leda in the form of a swan. She was the sister of Clytemnestra, Pollux, and Castor, the brothers who became the constellation Gemini, which is my sign. Theseus and Pirithous wanted to marry daughters of Zeus, and they pledged that they would take Helen and Persephone. Theseus targeted Helen and Pirithous Persephone. What could go fucking wrong? Everything. Absolutely fucking everything. Theseus was successful in capturing Helen. Because she was young, she was put in the care of Theseus' mother, Aethra. Because, you know, that's a fantastic decision to make. Leaving a young girl you wish to marry, when she gets older, of course, at your mother's place. Oh, Helen was only 10 years old. Yep, only 10. Good job, fuck nugget. I will now be calling Pirithous Dipshit McGee. The appellation's white out. Anyway, so Dipshit McGee, aka Pirithous, decides to focus his attentions on Persephone. You know, the goddess already married to Hades
and has a revenge kink. But sure, you do that, buddy. Okay, then. Theseus did try to dissuade Prometheus from trying to abduct Persephone, but dipshit McGee wouldn't relent. So, off to the underworld they go. So onward and downward they went. But apparently, they weren't traveling alone. Unbeknownst to them, they were being followed by the Furies. Oh, the Furies, you ask? Remember, Furies, not furries, that's a pacifist thing. The Furies are goddesses of vengeance and retribution. They hunt those who commit heinous crimes, like kidnapping, as an example. They are described as having snakes for hair. Oof, that dandruff must be really scaly. Wings, and are associated with the underworld. Also, because they are not earthly beings or creatures, they are not bound by earthly laws. They hunt their targets relentlessly. In Prometheus's case, when he and Theseus stop for a rest, they are unable to run away from their rest spot. Another famed hero ends up in their path. Heracles. Not Hercules. Heraclea. Cousins hanging out. Fun stuff. Heracles was able to rescue and help Theseus from his sitting spot. But when he tried rescuing Prometheus, the earth shook and he could not be saved. Why, you ask? Because dipshit McGee here committed such an egregious crime of wanting the wife of the great god. His hubris, again, all this comes back to Poseidon. His hubris in thinking Persephone would leave Hades for him is just obnoxiously stupid. Oh, and Prometheus died by being snacked upon by Cerberus, Hades' dog. However, Theseus, fuck Nugget, went back to Athens after being free. Once he returned, her brothers, Helen, Castor, and Pollux, took Helen and Prometheus' sister, Pisidaea, back to Sparta. Pisidaea became a handmaiden to Helen and even followed her to Troy. In any case, towards the end of Theseus' life just gets depressing. After being king of Athens for many decades, Theseus had lost popularity. Lycomedes of Cyros pushed Theseus over a cliff and splat! Went the defeater of the Minotaur and crappy kidnappers of Helen of Sparta. After his sad death, Menestheus takes over Athens and led the Athenians into the Trojan War. He was supported by Helen's brothers, Castor and Pollux. However, Menestheus died. The Athenian throne went to Theseus and Phaedrus' youngest son, Demophon. This happened after Menestheus' death, regardless of whether he died in Athens or after returning from the Trojan War. I got one more story for you. Theseus is done, but we need to talk about the hunter Orion. He is also a son of Poseidon. On a less pathetic note, Poseidon slept with a woman named Euryale. Not one of the Gorgons. Relax. He already did that, and we already know how that ended. Of which, about Euryale, we have scant information, meaning I can't glean more info from Theoi.com. From this union, the hunter Orion came. Per the perks of being a god's son, Orion was able to walk on water. Okay, Jesus. However, like most mythological characters, Orion also turned out to be an asshole. While serving as a huntsman for King Oinopion? Onomatopoeia? Anyway, I'm gonna call him Onomatopoeia. I should really spell out these names phonetically so that way I don't butcher them in the future. But I won't. Orion did one thing many ancient heroes did, except Perseus. He raped his master's daughter, Merope. Orion was blinded and exiled due to this gross act of not observing Xenium, again, hospitality. He sought after the god Hephaestus to restore his sight at the island of Lemnos. From there, Orion was to take a companion with him. His companion's name was Sedalion, and their first stop was to find Helios, the god of the personification of the sun. To avenge himself, Orion went back to Chios, but Onomatopoeia pulled a Eurystheus, Heracles' cousin, by hiding himself underground in a bronze chamber. However, I don't fault Onomatopoeia because he acted in his daughter's behalf, because now we know that Merope is considered tainted good, so to speak. Women can never win in Greek mythology. Speaking of women, or rather goddesses, Artemis now enters the story. After regaining his sight and unnecessarily needing to avenge himself, Orion booked it to either Delos, the floating island where Artemis and Apollo were born, or Crete. Orion then became a hunting companion of the virgin by choice, goddess Artemis. After dying, apparently there were a few versions, he was placed amongst the constellations. But how did he die, you ask? Shall I describe the ways? You know I'm going to. Version 1. Apollo gets involved. Oh boy. Apollo, being the other half of his sister Artemis, saw the relationship between Artemis and Orion bloom. Jealousy, a common theme with Apollo, coursed through his body and became enraged. Another common issue. Artemis was challenged by Apollo, points to a different spot. Unknowing by Artemis, Orion is swimming and has her shoot her arrow, killing her companion. She hits the spot, unnaturally on point of course, and kills the giant. Story 2. Orion pissed off Mother Earth. Being the boastful giant son of Poseidon, Orion declares that he will kill all the beasts on Earth. Gaia, nonplussed about his declaration, or his decree, sends a large or giant or huge scorpion to kill him. Apparently, Gaia was successful. Yay for another story of hubris. It's clearly becoming a theme here. Oh, there's one more story. So story number 3. Orion apparently tried or attempted to harm Artemis or followers of Artemis. Because of his actions, either with the intent or by accident, probably with intent, Artemis shoots and kills Orion. Regardless of how he died or how he was killed, Orion was added to the cosmos as a constellation. Artemis pled with Zeus, Sky Daddy if you're into that, to put him into the sky. Orion is forever pursued by the other constellation Scorpius. Also, one will never kill the other as one is rising and as the other one sets. So the hunt is continuous. Orion's death is still not as sad as his half-brother Theseus. So what exactly have we learned here? We learned that Poseidon couldn't keep his seahorse in his mermaid or merman pants or onesie, whatever it is. And he liked his women. He also liked men. He did sleep with Pelops, the son of Tantalus, and that whole shit show with the House of Atreus. I think I discussed that in Zeus's episode, episodes 10 or 11. If not, if you're interested, let me know and I can go over that in a future episode. But we've also learned that Poseidon is a passionate god. Not always a good kind of passionate. He was quick to anger. He was vengeful, violent, as we learned about from Odysseus' experiences with the sea god. Also, I noticed thematically with Poseidon's offspring, his mortal offspring, they all died ignominious deaths. They didn't die in glory. They died sad, whether being kicked off a horse or winged horse, I apologize, kicked off a cliff or got stung and struck by a scorpion. So they didn't die heroes like Heracles or, again, top tier, S tier, whatever you want to call it, top tier heroes like Perseus. So, I guess as a testament to Poseidon's legacy, it's not exactly a good one. But anyway, thank you for joining me on today's episode. I know it was a long one, and I apologize about the long hiatus. I should be coming back at least a couple episodes a month. So, again, thank you for joining me. And remember, try not to get into any shenanigans yourself, or I just may end up telling your story. You can reach the show via email at sexscandalshenaniganspod@gmail.com. And until next time, bye!